MZTV.
Martin Zender here, broadcasting from Lima, Peru. Glad to have you all with me. I'm at a different location here. Right now, we were at Maria's mom's place for a couple days, and we didn't want to be a burden. So we are at an Airbnb. We're in a small apartment. We're on the 11th floor of a 16-floor building. It's pretty cool because they have this common area on the roof. You find a lot of that in Peru. They take advantage of rooftops. And so I shot some footage here. Greg was asking, show us some of Peru. So what I'm going to do is I shot some nighttime footage and some daytime footage. So I'm going to intersperse some. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'll see if it works out. If not, I'll just show you some nighttime view and some daytime daytime buildings. It's the second largest city in the Western Hemisphere, as I've told you. 11 million people here in this city. As for me, it's depressing because I'm going through this medical issue. It's winter here. Oh, it's June in the States. It's June here too. But when the school kids get off for the summer in South America, they're off for December, January, and February. That's their summer vacation. I know, that's a mind bender, isn't it? Christmas Day is the longest day of the year in Peru. So in the States, you're coming up on the longest day of the year, June 22nd. We're coming up on the shortest day of the year here. So it's getting dark early and it's cold and there's no heater. There's no heat in this apartment. I don't know if there's heat in any apartment in the whole city. We're somewhat close to the equator, but the temperature is even, except you are more in need of air conditioning in the summer than you are in need of heat in the winter, unless you're me. Then you must go out and buy a space heater because you are cold. And the clinics I went to today were cold. There was no heat in any of them. It was, and the lighting is the kind of lighting that I hate. Doctor's office lighting that you find mainly in doctor's offices. And so it was a day of testing. Selling popsicles out here. It's Monday night. I don't know. So it was a day of testing, and which was not fun. I got blood work done and an EKG. But here's the highlight. We had two guys come to the apartment to do the chest x-ray. Yeah, they make house calls. It's just a little extra. We had already been out twice, and we had to go out again for some breathing test, which I didn't do well on, actually. And so we decided, let's just have the x-ray guys come over. So they did. They hauled their equipment up here to the 11th floor, and like the pizza delivery guys. Yeah, the dudes came with their x-ray machine. I had to hold the cassette myself, you know, just holding that thing. And then they all run out of the room, zap you with x-rays. Then they run back in. And I saw the image on the guy's computer screen. Maria was all excited. Oh, look, baby, there's your lungs. Not interested in seeing my lungs. Don't want to know. I hate being reminded that I'm a damaged mortal. I'm just disgusting. I saw my bones. Ugh, bones, my God. I don't like being a damaged human, so. It's not, but baby, look, your lungs look good. I'm glad, great, my lungs are great. Humiliating, absolutely humiliating. Then, of course, we tipped them, you know, just like you tipped the pizza delivery guy, and they were on their way. They did us a good service. It was inexpensive. $70, I think, for a home visit chest x-ray. And of course, there was the, $5 tip, so. $5 tip for reminding me that I'm an endemic mortal. Thanks. I told you Peru was a service culture. And even at the Chile clinic, the service was great. You didn't have to wait. You just get right in. They do their job. You check out. And it's inexpensive, as I was saying to you earlier. So, but still, you know, my wife, Maria, is the best. She is with me every step of the way. Tomorrow I get to meet the doctor. And Wednesday we do the surgery. So there's that. Thank you for your continued prayers, your continued contributions to help with expenses, and your love for me. None of it's lost on me, I can tell you that. And none of it is lost on God either. I'm done with Solomon. And part of the reason is a comment I got from somebody named Glass Half Fulpty. This is really funny. This is a humorous guy. Calls himself Glass Half Fulpty. It's F-U-L-P-T-Y. So even his glass doesn't know if it's half full or half empty. So he combines it. It's Fulpty. And he says this: even hearing the truth is fleeting. And now I'm not blaming this person for this text, but this made me realize that Solomon is a whiner and he's off. I mean, he's right about one thing, but he doesn't make this distinction that I could see so far. I mean, chapters 1 or 2. I don't think he makes the distinction through the whole writing. He said, all is vanity. Everything under the sun has been done. It's all vanity. All is vanity. All is vanity. He doesn't qualify it. And here's Glass Half Fulpty saying the same thing. Even hearing the truth is fleeting and old. That, I appreciate this comment because that clicked me into what the hell am I messing around in Solomon, in Ecclesiastes for? This gentleman continues, I think it's a gentleman anyway. Even these videos are tiresome. I took a slight offense to that. But then I understood. He says, even these videos are tiresome, all is vanity. And then it hit me, no. Not all is vanity. That is not true. That is Solomon looking through his depression-tinted glasses. And did Solomon know Paul's gospel? He did not. He did not know Paul's gospel. He knew the living God, and yet he was so jaded. And I think now, my thoughts are becoming more sophisticated. I think he became jaded by the fact that he was given everything. I think that dulled his senses. The problem I have there is that he said, I still maintain my wisdom. Then how could you say all is vanity when you're learning about God in this process? So I'm kind of pissed off at the guy now. Like, what kind of road are you leading us down, Solomon? When you say all is vanity, yet you say you retained your wisdom. He's like, that's very upsetting to me. And you inspire this man to say, even the truth is tiresome and old. Hearing the truth is fleeting and old. These videos are tiresome. All is vanity. I kind of joked back and I said, you think watching these videos is tiresome? Try making every one of them for the last 32 years. But then I added, and you can read my comment. I said, but there a miracle occurs every day, and you know this. The miracle is that God gives me the motivation and he makes it new. And even when I start a video flat and depressed and done with it, as soon as I hit the button to record, something comes over me. Let's call it the Spirit of God, shall we? And I know that you are out there and everything starts to flower for me and come to me. And it's a miracle every video. I don't know how it happens. I'm not confident that it's going to happen again. I never am. I never am confident it's going to happen again. But the Spirit of God makes this truth alive every day in spite of the repetition of it. And we do repeat the same things all the time in a different way, with a different slant, with new light added, new angles, new little flecks of sparkling veracity. And That's a miracle of God. That's something that we read over and over again, even some scriptures that we have read over and over again. You see them in a new way. And that is a miracle of God. And we go to conferences and we see each other. And we sometimes see the same people. And we do. There's always new people, but you do see the same people. But it's always different with them. It's always new. And it never gets old. So I cannot say with Solomon, all is vanity, because this is not empty. Glass half full. This is not empty. I know it feels that way sometimes. That's why I'm not blaming you for writing what you did. I'm glad you wrote what you did, because it snapped me out of Solomon. Snapped me right out of Ecclesiastes. I am done with it. Because all is not vanity. Solomon did not know this message. He did not have a message for all humanity. As much as some people say this is true, you cannot find the salvation of all in the Old Testament. Only in Paul. You see hints of it. And you can put one or two verses together to arrive at a semblance of it, but you don't get proof of it. Like, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, as we read in Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:22, or through one man sin and condemnation comes to all humanity, through another man who is much more than the first man, life and justification and vivification come to all. So these are proof texts that God is the Savior of all humanity. Not to mention the verse, let's see, that says God is the Savior of all humanity. Yeah, that's 1 Timothy 4:10. Solomon didn't have that. Solomon did not have a celestial expectation. We do. This gospel that we have been talking about for decades came to us through the Apostle Paul. Solomon was not familiar with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was familiar with Solomon, and we are familiar with Solomon, but he is not familiar with us. And ladies and gentlemen, we have more wisdom than Solomon. Obviously, the guy says all is vanity. I would never say all is vanity. I would say a lot of it's vanity. I would say anything the earth offers up is vanity, but I can't say all is vanity and there's nothing new under the sun. Can't really say that. Can't really say that. It's not a truth for today. And that makes me ask the question. I'm honestly asking this. Was it the truth for that day? Was it a pre-Paul truth? I mean, the greatest message going was the circumcision message. And it was always set out as a future expectation. It was always ahead, always ahead. And the best you can do was get your sins forgiven once a year, the Day of Atonement. But Paul's gospel, even though all of our blessings are ahead, the reality, the truth of it, we have now. We are now being justified by faith. We are now invigorated. We now have peace with God through understanding the truth of justification. God speaks to us of things that are not yet, but it speaks of them as though they are, like Ephesians 2:6 is an example, who seats us among the celestials in Christ. We are not now seated among the celestials in Christ. I'm seated here in Lima, Peru, in the middle of winter, in a city full of people that is, well, I don't want to call it depressing, but to be honest with you, now that I'm thinking about it, there's not much difference between the people in Fort Lauderdale and the people here, except the humility factor. The people here are much more humble and much more helpful. Humble and helpful. But as far as knowing God and understanding God's Aeonian purpose, I am in the middle of Catholic territory. I've wanted to tell you this for so long. When I've come down here with Maria and I've gone on runs, and there's a statue of Mary, and she's on this pedestal, and she's surrounded by this iron gate, and she's like right in front of the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, and there's this driveway, a parkway, I should call it, and then there's this little sidewalk leading to Mary, and people go up to her, and I've seen people on their knees in front of the statue. I've seen people standing with their hands folded in the classic prayer pose, and I've seen rosaries draped around the spikes of the iron post, like people drape trinkets around Elvis's grave at Graceland. Or when Dan Sheridan and I went to Curly Howard's grave, the famous stooge of Larry Curly and Moe, we went to his grave in West Hollywood, and there were all sorts of trinkets there too. And it's like they're doing the same to Mary, the Virgin Mother, putting their trinkets there, hoping she will remember them. So this city is rife with Catholicism. The United States, on the other hand, is rife in Pentecostalism, the hip Christianity, whatever they call it. If it's not Catholic, it's what? Protestant? But it's the same problem. No knowledge of God. And I'm here to suggest to you that Solomon had the same affliction. And when I say that we are wiser than Solomon, I mean it. We have more wisdom and more understanding than the man who, at the time, I now realize his wisdom was relative to all those who were in Jerusalem before him, including David. We know David was a hot mess. And so, all is not vanity. I'm so done with Solomon. And the truth is not boring, my friend. It is alive. It's alive, like this flower, a miraculous flower that sits on your kitchen table and stays alive. And it continues to grow and it never dies. It's like an eternal flower. Imagine having such a thing. That when you cut it, it still lives and it still grows and it never dies, and you have it for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And you would marvel at that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you call all your friends in to look at that flower? And yet we have that inside of us. We have the living spirit of God inside of us. And the only way we can die is if the spirit of God is taken from us. That's the only way we can die. But there's a generation we know that won't die. But think about it. We can't die with the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God has to leave us. Our bodies are mortal, yes. And the Spirit of God is keeping our bodies alive. And at death, God removes the Spirit. But if God never removes the Spirit, then we would live on in decrepit bodies. That would be terrible. But forget that for a moment. My main point was the Spirit of God, Paul says, makes its home in you. And that is not vain. That is not vanity. That is not empty. It's not boring. It's not flat. What did half a glass say? It's not tiresome. It's not fleeting. And it's not old. Well, it might be fleeting in that if we are appointed to die, it will leave us, but it will return to us at resurrection. I want to finish with some brief comments about taste buds. I mentioned our taste buds in yesterday's video, how we're given parts of the tongue that respond to different tastes: saline, salt, sweet, bitter, and sour. Somebody challenged that yesterday. I forget who it was, but somebody said, "I think that's been disproven, hasn't it?" And WizChick spoke up, who was in the medical field, and she said, "No, it has not been disproven. There are parts of the tongue that respond to different taste sensations, certain parts of the tongue. It's a fact." And she brought up a truth that I had never heard before, and it is that the part of the tongue, It might be the tip of the tongue. I'm not sure where it is, but the part of the tongue that responds to sweet is the last thing to go as you age. As you age, you begin to lose some of the sensation. You lose the taste. A food becomes less appealing as you age because it loses taste, because apparently your taste buds kind of start going to sleep, except for that part of the tongue that responds to sweet. And Wischick pointed out that isn't it true that it's hard to get older people to eat? And come on, Grandma, eat your meatloaf. Come on, Grandpa, eat your mashed potatoes. But if you offer them sugar, offer them candy, offer them a cupcake, they're all over it. A piece of their birthday cake from their 98th birthday, they're all over it. They want that cake. They don't want the meatloaf. They don't want the chicken. They don't want the mashed potatoes. They want the chocolate cake. And Wischick pointed this out, that isn't it merciful of God? And also at death, they say that the hearing is the last thing to go at death. And so God lets us talk to our loved ones. I did this when I was watching my father die, which was the hardest things I've been through in this life, was watching the life leave my dad. But I talked to him, I gave him the sermon of my life, and I poured out my love for him, and I told him about God. And knowing that the hearing is the last thing to go. And now, apparently, the taste for sweets is the last thing to go. And that is a mercy of God. So even though these pleasures of life, I've come full circle with Solomon, I think, feels like it anyway. Maybe I'm just saying I'm coming full circle without actually coming full circle, but feels good to me. I'm fine with it. Even the things in this life that are empty and are vain, God still provides us with the television so that we can let our minds escape into a movie, or we get to go to the movies. It's a gift of God. I'm not saying it isn't. YouTube is a gift of God. Those little shorts on YouTube that take you away, like I say, movies, or you can still watch Three Stooges episodes. What a grace. What a beautiful grace. You can still watch Hogan's Heroes episodes on YouTube with an internet service. It's just, thank you, God. And thank you, God, for Hershey bars. And thank you, God, for all the things, like for me, Kratom and coffee, all the things that, even though they don't amount to spiritual wisdom, even though these things are vanity, are empty, but they're still, even in their emptiness, that is, in their lack of ability to bring us closer to God, they get us through, they get us by. When this doctor does the surgery on me on Wednesday, I'm going to be asleep. That's a blessing, isn't it? I don't want to be awake while this guy's scraping skin off my inside of my mouth. I don't want to be awake for that. So whatever this stuff is they're going to give me, either intravenously or in a mat, it's going to put me to sleep. That's the grace of God. And if they can give me a cherry lollipop at the same time, even better.